You'll take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting verse 7. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility or havel. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we ask that tonight you would open it to us and teach us. We pray, Father, that you would help to change our perspective on life and that we might learn how to live it to the full and to your glory. And Father, we pray especially for our young people tonight as this text addresses them specifically. We pray, Lord, that you would give them an openness to what your word says and that you would transform their worldview of both young life and old age. And Lord, we pray that you would use this to further your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it doesn't take anybody of any great insight or ingenuity to know that we are obsessed with looking young and with youth. And we do everything we can to keep it, or to prolong it, or to pretend that we have it. And if you look at the popular television shows, it's absolutely frightening. Makeovers and cosmetic surgeries have become entertainment. And people of all kinds spend tons of money trying to stay looking young. They buy creams and lotions and pills and injections and suctions and you name it. In fact, you would think that by looking at our culture that the only people who really matter are 18 to 30 years old, thin and very attractive. Paul Tripp calls this trend, quote, the youthification of Western culture. We are obsessed with avoiding getting old at any cost. And aging is an enemy that is to be fought both tooth and claw. And yet, the sage of Ecclesiastes gives us a perspective on both youth and old age. And if his perspective is embraced, it will enable us to enjoy our youth without fighting old age. Kohelet in this passage teaches us that there is a sweetness to this life, and actually a particular sweetness to the prime of life. And he shows us how to enjoy our youth responsibly and to prepare for old age gracefully. He puts youth and old age into their proper perspectives in life under the sun. Derek Kidner writes, "To idolize the state of youth and to dread the loss of it is disastrous. It spoils the gift even while we have it." As we approach the end of the book, we come to the final unit, which ends up being chapter 11, verse 7 through 12, verse 8. There will be an epilogue for verses 9 through 14 in chapter 12, but this ends up being the final teaching section. And it's perhaps very fitting that Kohelet would conclude his book with observations on youth and old age. But there's something a little different in this unit. Normally, Kohelet has presented to us the havel, the vanity of a certain aspect of life, and then calls us to enjoy life as the gift of God, even in the face of havel. So he presents the havel, calls us to enjoy life even in spite of it. Here, the pattern is reversed. He actually begins by telling us the obviously enjoyable nature of youth, and then reminds us after that that youth is hevel. Now, his admonition then is not so despise youth, but rather to enjoy it while you have it, because since it is hevel, it will be gone very soon. Now, if we take this small section seriously, we will avoid, on the one hand, the youthification craze without diminishing the joy of youth. And if we take this section seriously, then we will actually look to old age with a sense of realism that enhances the enjoyment of every year that we are able to see under the sun. Verse 7 says, "The light is pleasant, and it's good for the eyes to see the sun." The Tanakh, which is a Jewish translation of the Old Testament, translates the first clause, "How sweet is the light." For Solomon, light is what you see under the sun. It represents life and blessing and even joy. And although life under the sun is indeed life in our death row prison cell, light still shines through, and it does have a marvelous pleasantness to it. Adding to the thought, he then says, "And it's good for the eyes to see the sun." The idea is that the sweetness of the light that shines through to us under the sun is to be tasted and experienced and enjoyed. When one sees that light, he is to delight in it. When one feels that light, he is to bask in its warmth. Kohelet is telling us to enjoy the beams of light that shine through to us in life under the sun. Michael Eaton notes, he says, "Similarly, to see the sun does not merely mean to live, but to live joyfully. See is occasionally used, as has been shown, as to stress the note of enjoyment." And so Kohelet is telling us here that we are to savor this life while God gives it to us. As long as we have eyes to see the pleasantness of the light of life, we are to savor it. That doesn't mean that the mysteries go away. It doesn't mean that the enigmas don't plague us. It doesn't mean that Havel somehow vanishes. All of those things stay. But there is a sweetness to life that Kohelet is telling us that transcends any of the bitterness that life has to offer if we will simply embrace it. Verse 9, he says, "Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility." Now, this call is not just for the 18 to 30-year-old crowd. This is a call to anyone, no matter how many years they have, to enjoy life. Notice the conditional statement, "if a man should live many years," indicates, of course, that there will be people who have long lives full of years, and as long as they are able, they should rejoice in them all. And this particular exhortation seems to me the best remedy to those depressing Kohelet moments when we feel a sense of loss because a certain stage of life has passed. Kohelet is telling us, enjoy all of the years. Enjoy all of the stages of life. But this enjoyment is not some shallow enjoyment of just some sort of giddiness, but rather it is an enjoyment that is tempered with the steel of reality. Notice his words, "remember the days of darkness, for they will be many." The call here to remember is to remember something in the future, not the past. And although almost everything in life is uncertain, one thing is certain. If you don't die young, you'll get old. The expression "days of darkness" some take to be death. but actually, I think, in context, days of darkness represent old age. In chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we're going to see that darkness is something that happens in old age. Now, certainly old age ends in death. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is that one of these days, we are all going to get old. And we have to face the invariable restrictions of old age. And we need to realize that one of these days, the sun will go down on us. And finally, will come about on that last day when the sun drops beyond the horizon for us and our life will be no more. Life lived in this world of vanity sees the aging process as part of that vanity. And so Qohelet is not simply trying to depress us. He's trying to sober us so that we can actually really enjoy life while we can still see the sun. The closing note ends up being very sobering. He says, everything that is to come is havel. Old age, including the aging process, is havel. The vigor of youth and the enjoyments of the prime of life are a vapor that are here today and they're gone tomorrow. And youthful vigor will give way to the ailments that we're going to see in chapter 12. But Qohelet is not trying to depress us, but rather he is trying to impress us with a sense of urgency to enjoy the good, healthy years of sunshine while we have them. The thought of death does not relativize our joy, but rather it gives our joy a sense of strength. Because those who enjoy life best are those who know that a time is coming when they won't be able to enjoy life like they do right now. Verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now, Qohelet is absolutely relentless in pursuing us to make sure that we pursue joy. And here is a biblical command. Notice in verse 9, rejoice. It is a biblical command, and I would remind all of us tonight that the command to rejoice is just as binding as the command not to steal. Now, there's a time frame attached to the command during childhood. Childhood, don't think of little children. The word actually indicates the prime of life, one who was of military age. All right? And so what's being stated here is we are commanded to rejoice in our youth. And then the next imperative is to let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. What we have is the sage's guidance for the young. In the words of the Tanakh, enjoy yourself while you are young. Let your heart lead you to the enjoyment in the days of your youth. Now this biblical imperative, rejoice in your youth, demonstrates to us that being young is a gift from God. Every gift from God is a stewardship. And God gives us gifts to use wisely for His glory. And youth is one of these wonderful gifts that He gives. And I would guarantee that there are some who have come to Christ later in life and they look back at the squandering of their youth with a sense of shame. Qohelet is telling us here, listen, the days are going to go by quickly, but they are days that need to be enjoyed. And so imagine that the God of the universe is telling young people to make sure that they enjoy the youth that He has given them, and He commands them to do it. Now, the next line actually sounds a little scary to the parents of teenagers. But it's not as scary as it may seem. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Now, I would remind you, the next line is going to remind us that God's going to bring everything into judgment. And I would also remind you of chapter 12, verse 1, and then later in the chapter that tells us again that God is going to bring everything into judgment. It should be obvious from the context that Kohelet is not giving us a license for unbridled hedonism. Kohelet is not giving permission to go to Palm Beach for spring break. He is, however, exhorting young people to live life to the full. The impulses of the heart, better translated more literally, walk in the ways of your mind. The pursuit, I think, that's pictured here is a mental, intellectual pursuit, a sense of achievement. The desire of the eyes, I think, is better translated in the sight of your eyes. And I think in light of verse 1, to see the light is pleasant. The idea here is not advocating sensual pleasure, which ultimately does not satisfy, but rather Kohelet is telling young people to walk in the ways of their mind and to walk in the sight of their eyes. That is, revel in the newness of the experiences of life that come to you in your youth. Revel in the challenges, revel in the achievements, revel in the unique enjoyments of simply being young. He is commanding young people to seize the day, to seize the opportunity, because it's going to soon be passed. Now, it should be fairly obvious that Kohelet knew that somebody somewhere was going to take these commands as permission for a libertine lifestyle. And so he quickly gives this controlling principle that's designed to govern the command. And yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now, I believe that the reminder of judgment actually serves as ballast for us. Ballast gives you a sense of balance. There's the obvious plain indication that says, don't use these commands to live a morally loose life. And that's what we jump to when we read the command, isn't it? We have this sense of, my goodness, if we tell people to follow the impulses of their heart, the desires of their eyes, they'll be doing all kinds of crazy things. And so what Solomon must be saying is, listen, God's going to bring it all into judgment, so don't do anything bad. That's true. But ballast means balance, which means there's two sides. This reminder of judgment cannot simply be a reminder or a curb against licentiousness, but it is also a reminder that God takes His commandments to enjoy life very seriously also. You understand, this is not just some sort of safety net against licentious living. It is also a reminder that God takes His commands to rejoice and to enjoy life very seriously, and that will be part of the judgment as well. Rob, a Jewish teacher of the 3rd century, commented, "Man will have to give an account for all that he saw and did not enjoy." Robert Gordas, this statement introduces the heart of Kohelet's viewpoint. Know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. That is, for all of the joys that He has extended to you, which it is His will that you enjoy. So this is not only a reminder to the morally loose, it's also a reminder for the stodgy. The promiscuous breaks God's commands and will be judged. And the sourpuss and the sullen breaks God's command and will be judged. And so we're being reminded, don't be some morally loose person, but don't be some stodgy stoic that never enjoys life either, because God's going to bring it all into judgment. the way in which you abused his gifts and the way in which you ignored his gifts. Kohelet is telling us that full-orbed joy is God's will for our lives. And he will judge how we enjoyed our youth and the joys that he provided. Walter Kaiser, reflecting on what we're calling the ballast of judgment, says, "Life must be lived with eternity's values in view. Your one life will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ and with eyes fixed on Christ will last. So have fun! Rejoice and delight yourself in the thrill of living." This reminder of coming judgment does not kill our joy, but it simply refuses to allow us to substitute shallow carnality for true joy. It prohibits wild excess on the one hand and a morose stoicism on the other. And then verse 10. "So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Now the final command comes here in light of the brevity of life. Kohelet tells us to remove, that is to banish, to turn away, grief and anger from your heart. The words actually have a wide range of meaning. The first word means vexation, anger, or grief. The second word can be either evil, as in moral evil, or distress. The range of possible meaning is reflected in all of our translations. Whatever the exact nuances are in the final verse, it's safe to say that the call is to put away all that eats away at the joy of life. Whether it is anger or grief over the havel of life, it's ultimately futile. Put it away. There's nothing gained by being an angry person. Kohelet's axiom would be this: don't be an angry person. Life is too short. The same holds true for the second word. Whether we are being called to turn away from moral evil, that is sin, or to turn away from sorrow or even pain in the body, the motive remains the same. Life is too short. Life is too short to spend it pursuing evil. Life is too short to allow sadness or sorrow to overwhelm us, or unnecessary pain to control us. Walt Kaiser says, "End all sadness, fretting, and morose gloom. Men must be free from those injuries to the inner man that so quickly cripple the joy of life." The end of verse 10 says, "Because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Actually, a more literal translation would be, "Because youth and black hair are havel." Kohelet says, I was unable to find a category for saying that no hair is havel, but I think that that's a given. Kohelet says that youth and black hair are havel. After telling us to enjoy youth, to enjoy the prime of life, he closes on the note by telling us that the prime of life is actually havel itself. Now, black hair is a metaphor for the prime of life, being in contrast to gray hair. In fact, what's interesting is in the Hebrew Bible, when we read gray hair, and you see that frequently, for instance, in the Psalms and the Proverbs, actually it's just gray. And here it's black. Black is havel. That is, in the prime of life, when there has been no gray to overtake you yet, that period of life is havel. Now, I think what we have here actually ends up being an excellent example as to why we've retained the word havel throughout our exposition. If you were just reading in your English Bibles, you would not know necessarily that that word fleeting is the word havel. The word is often translated vanity throughout. Here it is hevel. Now, in this passage, hevel has obvious vaporous qualities. Thus, it's fleeting. Youth and black hair are fleeting. Many translations that put it that way. Robert Gordas says that it is a fleeting breath. But in retaining hevel, it communicates that youth is not just fleeting, but it also has some other liabilities of hevel with it. What makes youth hevel is not only its brevity, but the fact that it gives way to old age. Youth is hevel because the aged look back on it and want to experience it over again, and yet it's gone forever. Youth is hevel because so frequently the young make choices during this period of life that mold them into fools for the rest of life. These years that Kohelet is talking about are years that are crucial to the formation of good habits in life. And yet what happens if such opportunities in the youthfulness of life are not seized, but rather they're wasted, then our youth can end up being the hevel of hevels for us throughout the rest of our life. Now again, Solomon is not down on youth. He's told us God commands us to enjoy it. But what he's doing is he's giving us a sense of realism. What is the problem with most young people? They think they'll be young forever. And in thinking that they'll be young forever, they squander away the years of their youth. And then one day they wake up and they realize that the prime of life is past. And Kohelet is simply teaching us how to really and truly maximize the joy and sweetness of youth. Youth is a gift of God. It retains all of its hevel qualities. But Kohelet's advice in the final analysis is this: enjoy it anyway while you have it. Don't spend it on stupid and silly pursuits, but rather give yourself to that which is going to make something of your life. Give yourself wholeheartedly in your youth to that which is going to bear good fruit in your old age. Could you imagine what would happen to our youth if they were gripped with a worldview that taught them to enjoy youth to the full and to age gracefully? Kohelet's instruction comes through ringing loudly and clearly. I love saying this. God commands us to be happy. God commands us to enjoy every stage of life, especially our youth. Our youth is a gift from God, and we should live it fully. We should live it coram Deo, in the face of God, with great joy. The fun of those years is the gift of God. Have you ever just found yourself talking with somebody and reminiscing about the days of your youth and things that you were able to do and the things that you enjoyed, and you find your own heart filled with a sense of delight? It's the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And so, soak in the sunlight and taste its sweetness. And revel, young people, in the new experiences of life, including love and the wife of your youth. And don't wait, because the sun keeps moving. It stands still for no one. It is setting and the light will fade. Have you ever sat on the beach and watched the sunset and there's this period of where it seems as if the sun kind of stands out over the horizon in a prolonged way, and then once it finally hits the horizon, it's almost as if you blink, you actually miss it going down. That's what Kohelet says life is like. Once it starts to go down, it will go down quickly. And the days of darkness will be many. So while you're able to see the light, while you're able to soak in the warmth of the sun, do it with all of your might to the glory of God. Old age will come. Youth and the prime of life have a havel quality about them because they go by so quickly and we seem to be so prodigal with them. And so don't waste a day or a week or a month or a year. Defy havel and live life to the full because God requires it of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a realistic book. Thank you for a book that resonates with our own hearts. And Father, we pray tonight first for our young people. Lord, may they really, truly embrace this wonderful section of Scripture. Father, may it transform their lives. And Father, we pray for the rest, and we ask, Lord, that whatever stage of life we're in, that you would give us the grace to be able to enjoy it, to see it as a gift from you. And Father, we ask that while we are still able to see the light, to see the sun, that you would help us to enjoy it each and every day. Father, help us to seize the day. In Jesus' name, amen.